Happy Thursday to everybody. Your boy doesn't have to go to work tomorrow, so I'm thankful for that. To celebrate, I went to the liquor store and I bought some drink. Guess what I bought, y'all? Now, look, I know we're supposed to be out here protesting Anheuser-Busch. You know, for those of y'all who are on the right, we're supposed to be protesting Anheuser-Busch. But let me tell you guys something. Them Bud Light Limes, I can't give them up. I'm sorry. Look, I'm not a big drinker of alcohol like that anymore. But when I do consume alcohol, in particular beer, I likes me a Bud Light Lime. So I went to the store today and I bought me a 12-pack of Bud Light Lime and proudly carried it through the grocery store with everybody staring at me. Because you know I live in Florida. There's a bunch of Republicans down here. I was like, you are not finna shame me because y'all protesting Anheuser-Busch. I'm still going to get these Bud Light Limes in my life. So I bought me a case of them. And they'll probably be sitting in my fridge for the next 3 months because I really don't drink alcohol like that. But anyways, I want to talk about something else before I get to my main topic. Everybody knows who Cynthia G is, right? Everybody knows who Cynthia G is. So in case you haven't heard, Cynthia G has had her channel hacked, y'all. Let me show y'all on the screen what's going on Cynthia G's YouTube channel. In case you guys are unaware, let's go to her channel. So we all know who Cynthia G is. She started off as a pro-black. Then somehow she transitioned into hating all black men. And I was watching a clip about a week ago where she was on, who was she? She was talking to some dude. I think his name is like Jay the Prince or something like that. He came up on her live stream and he was like, am I subscribed to her? When have I been subscribed to Cynthia G? I didn't even know I was subscribed to her channel. Ain't that something? I guess I'm subscribed to Cynthia, one of her channels. I didn't even realize I was. Anyways, she was on a live stream not too long ago cursing out some dude. And she was on there, I do not like black men. I wish nothing well for any of you. You know, she says in her high squeaky voice. Well, apparently somebody has hacked her channel with 125,000 subscribers. And all day they've been uploading crypto videos and Fortnite videos. All right. So starting 10 hours ago, somebody got access to her account and they done dropped about 12 different videos on this channel, eating up all her AdSense or at least locking her out of her account. So I don't know how much money this chick is pulling in, but I would imagine Cynthia G has got to be pulling in a bare minimum of $20,000 a month off this channel. I would imagine once you add up all the super chats, you add up all the AdSense, I would imagine it's got to be close to $20,000 a month she's pulling off this channel. And it appears she's been locked out. I don't know how I was looking this up, trying to figure out like how these hackers doing this, but anyways, she's losing some money. This is the big dog channel she got. You know what I'm saying? This is the big dog. Is she going to go bye-bye? I highly doubt it. Like I say, I just realized I'm subscribed to one of her backup channels, but so she'll probably start. If she can't get access to this channel, she'll get the trap back jumping on one of the other channels, but this is the big dog channel. This is the channel that brings in all her views and all her money. And the hackers, they've taken over her channel. So we'll see how that goes. If she ever regains access to the channel, we'll see how that goes. You know, I see some people celebrating out there. You know, it is what it is. You know, y'all celebrate, do your thing. I personally don't care for the chick. I didn't even realize I was subscribed to one of her channels. Let me go ahead and hit that unsubscribe button. I didn't even know I was subscribed to her. Maybe I did like a drive-by subscribe and didn't realize I hit the button. I'm thinking that's probably what happened. But anyways, we wish her the best on her channel recovery, the road to recovery, so she can get back to talking about brothers ain't ish and all the crazy stuff she be out here talking about. You know what I mean? So good luck to Cynthia G. Hold on, give me a second. I got to do something. So let's get to the main topic of discussion here. Let's talk about the Supreme Court, y'all. The Supreme Court. So I know y'all seen the news. Supreme Court. Give me one second, y'all. I'll do something real quick. Come on. All right. My bad. I'm over here doing something behind the scenes. I had to change a setting on something. All right, so I know y'all seen the news. If you haven't seen it, let's go through the news real quick. Let me pull it up so y'all can read along with your boy, because we likes to read over here. Reading is fundamental. Yeah. All right, y'all. Supreme Court rejects affirmative action at colleges as unconstitutional. Says Supreme Court on Thursday ruled that the affirmative action admission policies of Harvard and University of North Carolina are unconstitutional. The ruling is a massive blow to decades-old efforts to boost enrollments of minorities at American universities through policies that took into account applicants' race. It says, quote, eliminating racial discrimination means eliminating all of it, wrote Chief Justice John Roberts in the majority opinion, which all five of his fellow conservative justices joined in. Roberts said that both Harvard and UNC's affirmative action programs, quote, unavoidably employ race in a negative manner, involve racial stereotyping, and lack meaningful endpoints. That's what Chief Roberts is saying. He says, y'all out here including race as a criteria when it serves no purpose, but the other than being racist. That's essentially what he's saying. He says, we have never permitted admissions programs to work in that way, and we will not do so today. Roberts wrote, finding that the university's policies violated the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution's 14th Amendment. The clause bars states from denying people equal protection under the law. The Chief Justice added, however, that, quote, nothing prohibits universities from considering an applicant's discussion on how race affected the applicant's life, so as long as that discussion is concretely tied to a quality of character or unique ability that the particular applicant can contribute to the university. So basically, they're saying you can go in there and apply. You can go in there and apply and give them a sob story about how you've been struggling all your life for being black, but they can't actually use your race as a way of determining whether or not you're going to get admitted. I guess they're saying that you have to come up with a super sad sob story about the hardships of your race. So you got to go in there and be like, I was raised by my single mama, and one, you know, my single mama's black and I'm black. And one night we went to go get some food, and my mama's got into an argument with some dude in the spot, and the dude punched my mama's, you know, maybe she's black, my mama's black. Dude punched my mama's in the face, and I was black. I came out there with my gun because I was black. I grabbed my mama's gun and I went and popped this nigga. I mean, I went and popped this black person two or three times and killed him. And then Nicki Minaj, you know, she said she's going to give me some scholarship money because I'm black. And at first they was going to arrest me. So you got to go in there with a sob story like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to lay it on thick so that these pasty white liberals, or these liberals in general who are sitting at these admission boards, you know, they can be like, oh, we got to save us a Negro today. You are admitted into college, you little grimy Negro. That's essentially what you got to do. Right? You can't just be like, I'm black, let me in. You got to come through with the super sob story of being black, and then they might let you in. Justice Clarence Thomas, a black conservative who wrote a concurring opinion, said that the school's affirmative action admissions policy is, quote, a fly in the face of our colorblind constitution. Now, y'all know Justice Thomas. Did y'all know Clarence Thomas used to be a pro-black back in the day? How many of y'all knew that? There's a documentary on YouTube that you all should watch. Let me see. Justice Clarence Thomas documentary. I watched this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's rather interesting. Go watch this right here. Is this it? Yeah, this PBS Frontline thingamabob, this joint right here. Justice Thomas, you know, he grew up in, I think, Georgia, Savannah, Georgia, somewhere in Georgia, like really poor, was raised by his grandfather. I mean, he grew up like Poe. I'm talking about like Poe. And when that joker went to college, that joker was a militant pro-black in college, believe it or not. Like I'm talking about, he was out there ready to set it off on niggas at any moment. But the Clarence Thomas, we all know, you know, everybody likes to call him Uncle Ruckus and all this other crap. But it's like I said, you watch this document. Like, I had no clue that he was a militant pro-black back in his younger years. I was mind blown when I saw it. I was like, wow, that's really unique. But anyways, Clarence Thomas is obviously going to get brought up in this conversation because, you know, Clarence Thomas is a benefactor of affirmative action, even, you know, from his own admission. He benefited off of affirmative action when it came time for, you know, him getting employment opportunities as a lawyer out in the D.C. area and, you know, possibly even him becoming a Supreme Court justice. So, you know, that's a little interesting that, you know, he would be against affirmative action today. But then again, you know, I look at it from, you know, when he was coming up to where we currently are today, it's like, it's two different eras. You know what I'm saying? That a lot of black folks, especially pro-black, well, just black people in general, they don't want to admit to it that, like, you know, I've been telling you guys for years, you got so many black folks today, they really think that the year 2023 is 1923. You know what I'm saying? It's like they refuse to acknowledge that the culture in America has drastically shifted in terms of how people view race. Yeah, you got these onesies and twosies out here. Like, I seen a story about some white cops beat up a black person in Mississippi. It was like a blip that came across my phone. I didn't really check it out too deeply. But you'll have these onesies and twosies of some legit racism out here. But people just totally ignore the fact that this country is like nowhere near as racist as it used to be. But then that's when we'll go into this whole conversation of overt and covert racism, silent racism, and all this. And then my personal views on that is, I think that's based off of a lot of feels that a lot of black people have, feels of insecurity and being incompetent in whatever areas in life that they may be incompetent in. That's what I personally believe. Instead of black folks looking at, man, maybe I suck at something, I'm deficient at something, it's easier just to say, man, these people are being racist towards me. You know what I'm saying? That's how G Dizzle feels, man. Anyways, it says, Thomas says, two discriminatory wrongs cannot make a right. Then it goes on to say about Ketanji Brown Jackson, the black female justice. She says, in her dissent to the majority, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was black, you know, they gotta highlight that they're black, right? Who was black, called the ruling truly a tragedy for us all. Her fellow liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor said today, quote, today this court stands in the way and rolls back decades of precedent and momentous progress. Sotomayor called the ruling profoundly wrong and devastating. It said that the majority, quote, holds that race can no longer be used in a limited way in college admissions to achieve such critical benefits. All right. So anyways, I'm not going to read all this to y'all. Y'all can go read it yourself. But Supreme Court has pretty much gotten rid of affirmative action. So now my question to the congregation is, can black people really compete without affirmative action? Or have black people been leaning on this thing too damn long and relying upon it in some manner? You know, I got, you know, an interesting question that I thought of today. Let's just say you have been a benefactor of affirmative action. Like you're an affirmative action hire, or you got admitted into a college due to affirmative action. You as the black person, my question is, exactly how would you know? Like, how would you actually know? Like, and this is a legit question because I literally don't know the answer to this. But if you got hired simply because you were black and they needed to fill a quota, or you got admitted into a college because you're black because they needed to fill a quota, like, you as the black person who got that position, how would you actually know? Like, do these people actually tell you that we hired you because we got to fulfill a quota? Like, how would you actually know that you were a benefactor of affirmative action? Like, how does that work? If anybody knows the answer to that, let me know, because I legit do not know how that works. Like, how would you know? For some reason, my comments aren't working on the StreamYard. Does anybody know how to fix that? I only see a couple comments up here. I can see y'all's comments on my phone, so if I don't highlight y'all comments, that's because they're not populating in the StreamYard thing. And for some reason, I don't, let me see, give me a second. Let me hit this button. Maybe this will fix some. Nope. Yeah, I don't know why the comments aren't populating over in the StreamYard. So, whatever. Let me see. All right. So, but anyways, I'm trying to figure that out. Like, how would you know if you're a benefactor of it or not? But anyways, regardless of that, can black people actually truly compete without affirmative action? I guess that's the question I would like to know. Because, you know, you go onto the social medias, you ain't even got to be on social media. You know, you can just be living regular, random life. And black folks forever and a day will always talk about how we're the greatest at everything. We're the best athletes. We're the best entertainers. We're the best people. We're the best fashion conscious people. We're the best at this. We're the best at that. Yada yada yada. But then they but then they get rid of this affirmative action, and then we head on over into the Twitter sphere over here, and it's just Negro tears all up and down Twitter. So it's like, well, if you're the best, right? If black people are truly the best to ever do it, because, you know, that's what we love to say. We better than black. We better than white folks at everything else. We better than at cooking. We better than at dancing, singing, rapping, playing sports. We just better at everything. Well, if you're better, then you should be able to go out there and compete without affirmative action and just show everybody how much better you actually are. I mean, that's just the question that I'm posing here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just wondering if black people really feel like they're the greatest race to ever be created. and we just do everything at such a higher level than everybody else. Then we shouldn't have too many people crying about affirmative action. You should just go out there and compete and just start whooping ass and taking names all over the place, right? If that's the case, I'm just trying to understand some things. And then another thing I was thinking about today, right? All the black folks who are crying about how these colleges are going to become whiter and whiter and more Asian and more Asian. What about all them HBCUs out there? Now, G Dizzle went to an HBCU. I went to Tuskegee University, right? Full of black folks when I went back in 1998 to 2002. We had a couple sprinkles of white folks. We had a couple white people on the football team. They were mostly just the kickers, a bunch of former soccer players. And then we had a bunch of white kids that went to the veterinarian school. They loved our vet program out there. But all these black folks who have aspirations of going to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, all the elite schools, you know, that white folks love to go to. You know, do y'all think that would help boost HBCU morale and participation and enrollment? Y'all think more black people will possibly be inclined to attend an HBCU? Or if not an HBCU, a PBI? I know y'all know what a PWI is. That's a predominantly white institute. Well, now they have this thing called a PBI, a predominantly black institute. And an example of that will be Rutgers University. Rutgers started off as white, but now it's predominantly full of black students. But do y'all think more black kids will be more inclined to attend the HBCUs and the PBIs out there? You know, I wonder if maybe that could be a positive side effect of affirmative action going away, is black folks going back to these HBCUs and repping them. You know, kind of like how Negroes was all excited about HBCUs a couple years ago, or hell, not even a couple years ago, but just last year when Deion Sanders was coaching at Jackson State. I wonder if that's going to possibly rejuvenate some stuff, right? So that Black folks, we can get back out there and you Negroes can start competing on a high level and prove to the world, you know, just how dominant you actually are, to where you don't need somebody giving you an artificial boost based on racial problems of the past that, in my personal opinion, aren't nowhere near as prevalent today as they were when affirmative action was initially instituted. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you can actually go out there and show and prove that. You know, these are just some of the things I'm wondering. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, let's go to the Twitters and see what people are talking about. Says, wow, 80% of Indian Americans support affirmative action. Important to keep in mind right now. Can't help wondering if all these people also support reservations for the unprivileged majority in India. Okay. Let's see. Let's find. I'm trying to find the Black folks. I saw some on here. I think this thing just reset itself. Let me see. All right, y'all didn't say that using race as a determining factor in college admissions was unconstitutional from 1636 to 1954. How then can you say that it is unconstitutional today? Please respond to that question for me. Affirmative action. Well, like I say, well, we don't live in 1636 and we don't live in 1954. Like, times have really changed. Like, Negroes actually live in America, and you niggas can actually go out there and do something with your lives. Like, it's been proven. You know, we got Tyler Perry. He's a goddamn billionaire who just bought BET, for crying out loud. Like, you niggas can actually go out there and do some stuff with your lives, man. Where's that one pastor? What's Pastor something? He always be popping up in my damn timeline. Where he at? He was in here saying something goofy earlier. Can't freaking find him. All right. I'm trying to find this one pastor. I can't remember what his name is, but I always see his stuff pop up in my timeline. And I don't even follow this dude, but he just stay in my timeline. But he has said something crazy. All right. Well, let's see what Candace Owens is talking about. Candace Owens says, what a great day for Asian Americans who have endured flagrant educational discrimination because they do everything right. So glad that you will finally get into the schools that you deserve to get into based on the hard work you put in. Affirmative action is over. So Candace Owens is in complete celebration of this. And if you guys don't know, this actually started because of Asian Americans, right? I'm pretty sure some of y'all knew this, but maybe some of y'all didn't. So a bunch of Asian Americans were getting discriminated against, I guess, where they weren't getting admitted into Harvard and University of North Carolina because personality tests. So basically they were saying that their test scores was out there just outshining everybody. But due to affirmative action, these schools had to come up with a way to prevent admitting all these Asian kids in favor of Black and Latino kids. So they said that they were being discriminated off of personality tests. Like, they had to find some way to possibly discriminate against these kids. So they started a lawsuit, went all the way to the Supreme Court, and here we are today. So you got to thank all your Asians out there. So next time you're out there buying Chinese food, thank them. You know what I'm saying? They're the ones who help get rid of affirmative action. Where is that guy at, man? I seen his tweet earlier. I can't find him. Like, he disappeared. Oh, look at this. Is that G Dizzle? That is me. Okay. Oh, here we go. Bishop Talbert. That's this guy. This guy, I don't even follow this. Do I follow him? No, I don't. He just stays in my timeline. All right. But anyways, he says, when Black people were being enslaved, raped, murdered, brutalized, dehumanized, segregated, profiled, and mass incarcerated, no other group complained that it wasn't fair that they weren't treated the same as us. But when it comes to affirmative action, reparations, and other remedies to compensate for the historic degradation of Black people, everybody got their hand out talking about what about us? Brother dropping knowledge over there, right? I ain't even gonna argue it against him. I mean, he does, you know, make some valid points up in here. But I guess my biggest thing is, look, I'm no constitutional. I didn't go to school to be a damn lawyer, none of that crap, right? But my whole thing is, I just look at it from the layman's point of view. I'm a simple man just trying to observe the world. If every day I walk out my house or I log on to social media and I hear black folks talking about how we be kicking ass and taking names all over the place. We dominate this. We dominate that. Nobody can do it better than us. We do it the best. We's the best. Yada, yada, yada. Then I'm like, well, if you're the best, then go out there and show and prove. I mean, do you really need affirmative action to help you? Like if you have to get an artificial boost based on your race, are you really the best? That's what I'm wondering. And that leads us to our famous Brookings Institute diagram here, in case you guys have never seen this. You're like, what is this? So these are like study habits of black folks, right? Going back as far as 2013. I need for them to update. This is like 10 years old, but this is the most recent stuff I can find from them. So based off of this, you know, they're saying that black kids on average put in about 30 minutes a day doing homework. These Asian kids are putting in damn near 2 hours a day doing homework, right? But these Asian kids, according to, as far as this affirmative action thing is concerned, they're not getting into these schools because the little Negroes down here who don't do homework are getting bumped, moved to the top of the line over the Asians. So that's kind of how we got here today, man. You know what I'm saying? So I wonder if black folks are so great. And I'm not saying that black people ain't. Every black folks are great at a lot of things, right? I think every race is great at certain things. You know what I'm saying? Or better than other races at certain things. But you know, like I said, when you talk to the average black person, we're just the greatest at everything. So I'm wondering if that's true, then do you really need affirmative action? can you actually go out there on your own merits and get it in life without affirmative action? That's what I'm wondering. All right. Or do black people just want that extra advantage just to have it? You know what I'm saying? What the hell is this? Martin Luther King Jr. would be proudly standing with President Trump in support of the Supreme Court's decision. Yeah, you know what? I've said this before. If Martin Luther King Jr. was still alive, y'all know they call him a coon, right? If you go back and listen to some of the stuff that he was saying back in the day, that would be like treason against a Blackistan ideologies of today. They would call that brother, he would be like the biggest coon in the world if he was still alive. The only reason he's not a coon is because he was killed at the age of 38. That solidified him in black greatness for eternity. But if that Joker had never got killed, he'd be rolling around here in his 80s and 90s today. They would call him all types of coons. I mean, that's just the way they would do it. Now, here's the thing I do agree with when it comes to this. They need to get rid of this legacy admission stuff, right? Just because your parents went to a school that automatically allows for you to get into the school or makes it easier for you to get into the school. I think they need to figure out a way to rein that program in. I think that's probably the real issue a lot of people are facing right there that try to go to these Ivy League schools is you got a parent that's a graduate of that school or some relative that's famous or influential, and you're just getting in off of the strength of who they are. This probably right here is more of a problem than affirmative action, in my honest opinion. This legacy admission crap, that's probably the bigger issue than them getting rid of affirmative action, in my opinion. So they might need to figure out a way to redo that. Clarence Thomas tries to justify this betrayal by saying affirmative action undermines the self-esteem and self-respect of the people it's supposedly helping. Seriously, does he get hammered with Jenny before he says these things? I tell you that they ain't never gonna let that one go with him. They ain't never gonna let that one go. Anyways, I can't highlight y'all comments, man. So let me see what y'all in here yapping about. Let me see. What up, Royce? Cracking. Damn it. I don't know why this thing isn't working with the comments. I don't know what happened. Uh-oh. Like, this is the last comment that popped up. I can't get the StreamYard to. I don't know how to refresh this thing, so. All right, Lady M says, Thomas actually grew up during Jim Crow, so times were different. I agree. Times were different. Thomas says, affirmative action was good in its inception, but now it's not needed. He says, I don't want to get a job because of my race. I want to earn a job because of my talent. So that goes back to the question I was asking earlier. Like I said, this is a legit question because I don't know the answer. Like, if you were hired because of your race, like, how would you know? Because I highly doubt that they disclose that information. Or at least it's, here's the thing. Every job I've been hired for, nobody has ever told me I was hired because of my race. Like, I've never had that conversation. I've never seen any official paperwork during the hiring process or my onboarding process that stated I was hired because of my race. Like, I've never seen it happen with me. So I don't know. Has it happened with anybody else? You know, like, I how would you know that you've benefited from it? Hood Servitor says they should fire all the affirmative action hires and have them reapply. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Titan says, have you seen the black admissions rate for black people at Harvard? It doesn't even matter. Well, you got a lot of black folks that go there, but a lot of them are probably from like the Caribbean and from countries in Africa. As a matter of fact, I think I know one or two people that went to Harvard University. I think they went for their master's degree, and both of them were from the Caribbean. So I don't know of any ADOS FBA black American that's went to Harvard or any Ivy League school of that caliber. Shout out to Sexy Red. Sexy Red be going hard on y'all. Sexy Red's trying to become the next Cynthia G, y'all. Sexy Red is coming for Cynthia G's titles, her crown. So we might see the evolution of Sexy Red holding it down by calling y'all a bunch of bandits and stuff like that. Alpha Omega says, our NBA dream team was beat by part-time European players at the Olympics, no cap. Gary says, from what I hear, Asians are starting to take over a lot of these HBCUs. I don't know. I really don't. I really can't speak to that. I haven't been on a college campus in years, so I don't know if that's true or not. I really couldn't tell you. Now, I do know that there is one HBCU. I can't remember what the name of it is, but it is predominantly white. Like, there are more white students that go to this HBCU than black kids. And I want to say the school is out in like Kentucky or some one of them countries, one of them states in that area up there. What up, Light and Little? Let me see. We all know Baltimore City kids don't study, says Lady M. Yeah, that's true. Says Legacy, let me see, Titan says Legacy Hood, 40% of the seats. This was the only issue. All right. Tethers use African Americans the most. And Sexy Red says she is trying to become the next Cynthia G. Okay, shout out to Sexy Red. So anyways, I don't want to make this long. I just want to talk about that. Like I say, my real thing is, can black people really compete without affirmative action? Like, can y'all, I say y'all as if I'm not black, but you know, then again, y'all, some of y'all be like, you ain't black. I'll be like, all right, well, I'm the biracial, the mulatto. I'll put it that way. Can y'all niggas really compete without affirmative action? And time will tell. Now, I got faith in some of you Negroes. I really do. But then again, there's a lot of y'all Negroes that just don't want to get your minds right. You want to blame everybody for your problems. You want to keep crying about these B-dubs and all. Like, speaking of crying about B-dubs, what's that chick name? The one that whose son shot that nigga up in that spot the other day. What's that girl's name? Something Carlisha Hood. But I've been seeing some videos out here on the internet. Carlisha Hood. I've been seeing some videos on the internet of how niggas is really out here blaming this chick for putting her, for using her son as a weapon against this nigga. Now, I saw this video like y'all all saw it. And my thing is, that nigga need to get sent up out of here. Right? Like I didn't even understand what the argument was with this video. I thought this was one of these videos that every black person can get on one accord with and agreement with. Like I didn't see how this divided niggas in the community. You got a nigga up in here beating on a woman for whatever damn reason, and then her son comes in there and pops this nigga and sends him to meet his maker. I didn't even see what the problem was. And then I heard people talking about she used her son as a weapon. I was on somebody's stream. I was on Ty City's video the other day, and somebody in the comments was saying that this woman, she needed to be respectful. And somebody was like, well, damn, what if that was your mama? Well, my mama need to learn how to talk to men. I'm like, damn, nigga, you probably would have helped this nigga stomp your mama out. And so for all the dudes that was saying she used her son as a weapon, what was her son supposed to do? Just sit there and watch his mama get her ass whooped? Like, I know some of y'all got serious issues with the B-dub. I know y'all make 1,000,000,000 videos about it every single day. And I know some of you niggas got issues with your mamas in them. But my nigga, if somebody is beating on your relative, I don't care if you and your relative don't really get along like that, but especially if it's your mama, nigga, you can't just let somebody whoop on your mama, dog. You can't just do it. You can't. Like, I seen niggas talking about these dudes right here. How come these dudes didn't step up? I mean, well, let's look at this old man. Y'all really think this old man right here in the black jacket, he really finna get this little young nigga to work? This young nigga would have killed this old man with one punch, right? So I don't blame them for not getting involved, because y'all know my motto. Everybody be out here talking about we need to defend black women. G Dizzle only defends black women that I'm related to or I got some type of personal relationship with. Like, I'm not in favor of flying around with my cape on looking for black damsels in distress to rescue. No, because guess what? I'm trying to go home and get my chill on. Because here's the thing. If I get involved and this nigga kills me or I kill him, I highly doubt the Keisha I was trying to rescue is finna come give me some bail money or start a GoFundMe or put some money on my books for my family. So I'm not in favor of rescuing random chicks, right? So I don't even blame these people for getting up out of the way. But being that it was her son sees her getting stomped out by this little young nigga. Then he puts a couple hot ones in his ass. I didn't understand what the problem was. I was like, that's what the son was supposed to do. That's what the kid was supposed to do. You supposed to go in there and defend your mama, especially in that instance. When you see your mama getting handed that work in that manner, you got to go in there and defend mama. I don't care if you don't like your mama. You've been listening to the Manosphere and you hate your mama. I don't care. In that moment, you got to go defend your family. That's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even understand how we even got to this point in time where niggas is really mad that the son or mad at the mama because her son came in there and clapped this nigga that was beating her up. Now, how do we get here? Like, some of y'all are so deep into this black YouTube, this red pill philosophy that y'all are really in the fucking matrix with this shit. Where y'all would literally let your mother potentially get stomped out in front of you because, you know, this is insane with some of you niggas, man. So I didn't even understand that. But that nigga need to go bye-bye. He needed to get up out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know what was said before the video footage started rolling, but the way this nigga was putting them paws on her, he had to get up out of here. He had to go. Like, I ain't understand it. He had to get up out of here. He had to go. You know what I'm saying? And this ain't me caping. Oh, you caping for the... I'm just caping for common sense, nigga. Common sense. Let that have been my mama. Nigga, we going to war up in that spot. You know what I'm saying? As any rational, sane human being would. You would go to war. You should go to war with your family members. Regardless of how you may feel about them at the moment or whatever. Like, this didn't even make sense to me how niggas was, like, really trying to flip this around and blame it on her. Like, what? You niggas done lost y'all damn minds out here. But, so, I saw that. That was weird. Yeah, he went in there to get him a slice of pizza and left with some angel wings on his ass. And then I saw somebody had put a GoFundMe up for this nigga. I think they took it down, but I had saw a little, somebody took a screenshot talking about they had started a GoFundMe for this dude. I was like, stop. Just stop it. Get this nigga up out of here. Get this Negro. What the hell is this? Get this Negro the hell up out of here. Oh, that's me. I shared that. Oh, okay. Yeah, he going to go see grandma. says those two adults should have behaved better, and the 14-year-old should have never been in the situation in the first place. All right, see, Cyrus, you tripping. First off, Cyrus, we don't know what happened beforehand, right? We don't know where to go. We don't know what happened beforehand, right? All we got is this damn video. But in that video, you can clearly see she ain't being physically aggressive towards us. This nigga popped off on her. And the way he was hitting her with all the strength his little body can muster up. He potentially could have killed this chick with the blows he was giving her. So her son is in the car with the blicky. He had to go in there and pop this nigga. Like, there was no other way to make this happen. He had to go in there and pop this nigga. That they need to give that son a goddamn key to the city, in my opinion, for getting this nigga the hell up out of here. He did the right thing. You know what I'm saying? They need to give him a damn key to the city. Put his name on a. Put him on a Hollywood Walk of Fame or some shit. But that Negro had to get up out of here, B. I'm sorry. I can't ride with you niggas trying to make excuses for this crap. This kid saw his mother getting pummeled up in there and came in there and clapped this nigga. He was supposed to do that. That's a good son. From what I heard, the kid is on the honor roll, and it looked like he took them brain cells and applied it in a manner to get that nigga the hell up out of here. He was supposed to do that. That's his mama, B. That nigga had to go. He says the mom ordered her son to kill the girl. I heard that was a rumor. I heard that was all lies. It's probably part of the reason why they dropped the charges. So I heard that was all lies. Ain't none of that been confirmed or proven, as far as I can tell. But he had to get that nigga up out of here. He was supposed to do that. And I heard some people talking about, where was her husband? Where was the father? Like, wherever that nigga wasn't there that day, but the son was. Don't matter where the father was or where her boyfriend or husband was, he wasn't there that day. The son was, and the son stepped up and clapped that nigga as he was supposed to. So I ain't even understand what the issue was. He had to get up out of here. Plain and simple. Yeah, I think dude with the dread should have just hit home girl with the you got it and walked away. Nah, man, listen, you can't go around punching niggas, man. Like, you know, okay, down here in Florida, let me see, Florida constitutional carry. This law is set to go into effect July 1st. Constitutional carry goes into effect this Saturday, y'all. Saturday, July 1st. Yeah. So that means you can carry that thing on you without a damn permit. All Floridians who are able to get a weapon We can carry that thing on us without a permit. And I was telling my wife about that. My wife was like, oh, Lord, it's going to be dangerous. I'm like, nah, I think it's actually going to produce a safer society, because you don't know who got that thing on them, who might up and use it on your ass. So you can't just go around here physically assaulting people, challenging people, because you don't know who might be packing and pull that thing out and then hit you with the self-defense or stand to my ground. So that might actually teach niggas to keep their hands to themselves, to respect people's personal property and personal beings. That's what I'm hoping comes as a result of constitutional carry going into effect this Saturday in my state of Florida. All right? That's right, AM1. A well-armed society is a very polite society. You don't know who's packing out there. So you ain't gonna be able to just go up on somebody in a food spot and just start wailing on them. Because that person might be carrying that thing and get you up out of here. As you know, and shout out to the son. If I see this young man, I'm gonna shake his hand and dap him up. Like, I didn't see what the issue was. He's defending his mother, the person that gave birth to him, the person that is legally responsible for feeding him, caring for him, providing shelter for him, whatever the hell it is she's doing, the person that he has to look to for, you know, his day-to-day, you know, necessities in life. Of course he's going to protect her. The fuck y'all niggas think he was, what y'all think he was just supposed to sit there and watch his mama get beat? Like niggas really thought this kid was just supposed to sit there and watch his mama get stomped to a pulp. No, he was supposed to get out that car with that hot one and put them lead bullets in that nigga's ass. He was supposed to do that. That's his mama. I don't care if she a single mama or not. He was supposed to do that. That's what he was supposed to do. That nigga had to go. But yeah, man, constitutional carry, I believe that'll make the world a safer place, because you don't know who's packing. You're going to think twice before you just start stepping to people all crazy. Because they might up with that you know, that thang yang and, you know, put some hot lead in your ass. You know what I'm saying? Jeremiah says, violence is social currency in the black community. This incident changed his life forever. I mean, it sure did. He killed somebody. Of course it's going to change his life forever. But it's probably going to make people think twice about fucking with his ass in the future, too. He already know. Look, I already took a nigga out. You mess with me, I'll put another one in. I'll put another one, you niggas, in the ground. You know what I'm saying? It might make people think twice. Like, this kid ain't no joke. This kid really will get you up out of here if you mess with him the wrong way. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, make people think twice out in these streets, man. I mean, M1 says, I mean, it's not like the son knows if she's single or not. It don't matter if the mama is single. She probably is, because, you know, his daddy ain't here hugging him. So we're going to assume she's a single mama. All right. This single mama is legally responsible for this boy. She feeds him, she clothes him, she houses him. From what I heard, he's an honor roll student. That's what I heard, like a legit honor roll student. So she's doing something right in terms of getting this boy to get educated if he's able to be on an honor roll. So she's doing what she got to do, right? But regardless of that, this is the person that takes care of this boy, who's legally responsible for this boy. Why would he sit there and watch his mother, who feeds him, provides him shelter and clothing? Why would he sit there and watch his mother get stomped out? Why would he not get up and go clap this nigga who's beating his mama? Like, that's his mama, nigga. Like, what else is he supposed to do? No, I know you're saying it as a joke. I'm just saying, I've seen people saying that, oh, it's wrong that she used her son as a weapon. Like, nigga, what? That's what he's supposed to do, bro. He's supposed to defend his mama. Like, I don't care what type of horrible decisions. Listen, your mama could be a full-blown prostitute crackhead, right? You still, you know, it, and assuming that you got somewhat of a decent relationship with her, even though she might be a crackhead prostitute, you know, the average person ain't going to let a nigga talk crazy about his mama, even if she is like that. Like, a nigga still going to defend her like, yo, that's my mama. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you ain't gonna disrespect her in front of me. Like, no, nigga. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm just saying. I didn't understand what the fuss was about over this. I thought this was one thing everybody could agree on. Apparently not. Everybody was like, it was split down the middle. I'm like, what? This should have been the one thing to unify Black YouTube right here was this story. A nigga defending his mama and getting a pookie of the hell up out of here. Says it's not like BLM ever actually cared about Black people, but they ain't gonna riot over this. Oh, of course they're not. BLM only riots if Black people get killed by white people. White people are cops. That's the only thing they care about. I mean, we've seen, come on, this has been going on for like over 10 years now. So, of course, they're not going to riot. They're not even going to mention any of this crap. You know what I mean? But who cares? Constitutional carry, July 1st, Florida. There's going to be a lot of niggas getting sent up out of here if they try to mess with people the wrong way. You know what I mean? As they should, in my opinion. All right, y'all. I'm about to chuck deuces on y'all. I just want to come in here and run my mouth about this for a few minutes. You say, but he wanted some burgers and wings. Yeah, man. I imagine burgers and wings are probably slapping that time of night. You know what I'm saying? But he decided to start slapping the wrong person. And that son came in there and slapped him with some hot lead, man. That son came in there and put some hot sauce on them wings for his ass. You know what I'm saying? And got him the hell up out of here. And I'm just like, well, that's that. I mean, like, what else is there to talk about? That's that. You know what I'm saying? That's that. like, what else is there to say? You know what I mean? That was what the son was supposed to do. The son did the right thing. Put some hot sauce on them wings and sent his ass the hell up out of here. All right, y'all. I'm about to chuck deuces. So shout out to Sexy Red. Y'all be on the lookout. She's the new Cynthia. Let's go to her channel, man. Let me show y'all why I call her the new Cynthia G. Let me see. Let me share my screen real quick. Sexy. I be looking at her stuff. I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing out here, Sexy Red. Trying to get that Cynthia G paper. Let's go find her channel. Sexy Red TV Reactions. There she go. Where's she at? Look what she be out here talking about. I'm waiting on her to start calling y'all bandits. Soon as she starts calling y'all niggas bandits, I already know where we going. Black males will say, I need my bell like her. Ding, 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 ding. Black males will say anything to justify Jeremy Brown hitting that Black woman. That male was a nuisance to the establishment. Had charges for the last 20 years that included domestic violence. This male has a history of terrorizing women in the community. Ding, 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 ding. Act like an animal, get put down like one. I actually agree with all this crap. I agree with on this. Well, she be saying some other crap. Edward Anderson speaks for all Black men. I disagree with you on that. I disagree with you on that crap. I don't know where you got that crap from. Black women, stay the F off these panels. These men want to profit from your pain and your emotion. While you scream, they pockets get fatter, not yours. They want to have the conversation. Meet, turn on a female-led channel. red pill men are feminists. You tell them, Sexy Red. These good for nothing Negroes. Black men almost never hold their fathers accountable. I told you, we getting closer to calling these niggas bandits. Just start calling them bandits. You know what I mean? Black men have always hated black women. She be going off up in here. This is like her little online diary right here we get to read every day. That's the reason why I subbed to her channel, because I want to see what she's going to be saying next. I'm like, ooh, she ain't here giving us some entries out of her diary. That's what I'm talking about. Shout out to Sexy Red, though, man. I fucks with her. Go sub to her channel, man. Nuisance is a great descriptor word. Hey, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's what he was. Especially if this is true, where she says he had charges of 20 years of domestic violence. So he'd been out there. You've been out there whooping ass for 20 damn years. I mean, you know. Sorry, you got to get sent up out of here, man. You know what I mean? You got to get sent up out of here. Breonna Taylor got what she does. I don't too much disagree with that statement, be honest with you. I believe Breonna Taylor was the shooter, personally. And the reason why I say that is because if you watch the if you go back. When they arrested the boyfriend and they brought him out the house, one of the cops asked the boyfriend who was shooting. This nigga said Breonna was shooting. Like the very first interaction they had with him after they just killed the girl and they arrested the boyfriend and brought him out the house. One of the cops, there was a tape out there. I seen it like 20 damn times. They asked who was shooting. That nigga said Breonna was shooting. And then later on, his story got changed to where it was saying that he was shooting. I believe his first statement was the accurate one. So that's my opinion. All right. Anyways, I'm about to go. I'm about to get on this drink. I ain't got to go to work in the morning. I'm about to get on this drink and go watch me some, what's that TV show called? From? Is that the name of that show? Anybody been watching that? Anybody been watching that TV show From? Better go watch me a couple episodes of that till I fall asleep, man. All right. Anyways, that's all I got. I don't think I have anything else to talk about. So with that, I'm going to holler. Y'all be safe out in these streets. Peace.